Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, going to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast.
Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, AGV, and we're back with another wonderful episode. So this is season 4, episode 4. So today we're talking to Maya, and this is Maya Lakhani, a really cool name. So she is a British Indian rock artist. Maya Lakhani was born into the rock, playing in bands from the age of 12. When the pandemic hit in 2020, Maya felt a deep need to create music. With no band and in isolation, she learned how to write, record, and produce her own music from her bedroom in lockdown, performing all guitars and vocals. Maya released her debut single, The Line, in 2020 to a high critical acclaim. She received extensive airplay from BBC Introducing and was featured on three Spotify editorial playlists. Her follow-up single, Walk Alone, was released in April 2021, a song inspired by the conversations around women's safety and the desire to walk alone without fear of attack or abuse. Walk Alone also received extensive airplay, with BBC Introducing describing it as absolutely stunning, haunting rock, and John Kennedy picking it as one of his hot ones on Radio X, saying, "Incredible to think that this was written, recorded, and produced in her bedroom on her own. It sounds amazing." She also received coverage from Rolling Stone magazine and was spotlighted as one of the most memorable British Asian artists of 2021 by Eastern Eye, the leading British Asian national newspaper. Maya is excited about the latest release, Nightfall, which came out the 21st of January 2022, a song that encapsulates her unique brand of stylish self-produced bedroom rock. And she is going to talk to us about her new single that she's working on as well. We're going to just say, hi, Maya. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Edgy. Thank you so much for having me and for that wonderful introduction as well.
It's my pleasure. It's actually really, really cool to have you on. I was just going to say, your bio is obviously very incredible, and it just, you really are, like, I'm not, without the least of kind of insulting kind of sounding phrase, but you're like a one-woman circus in a way, because you've got, like, by the bio sound of things, you're kind of like, wow, like, you ended up doing so many things at once. And not only that, you know, doing it is one thing and not getting the end result is another, but not only did you do it, you got the end result there as well. So absolute applause to you, first of all. So the part that I'd like to start is the sound that you have in your music is like the description of the music reviews you've gotten as well. There's like this aspect of like haunting rock, and the impression I got from your music as well is that there's just so many different artists that I was kind of like reaffirming in my brain, but I kind of got nearly like some earlier days of like Avril Lavigne, and then like some Evanescence, and then even actually like some vocal kind of singing styles of like even Lana Del Rey, because she's got that like kind of nostalgia a little bit about her. So this is the thing that I really wanted to say is like, who was your ultimate influences growing up, and what do you think, not only who do you grow up listening to, but who was like your biggest influence on your actual particular sound that you have?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my first influence was the Spice Girls. And like, I was obsessed with them when I was like 4. I was absolutely obsessed with them. And they were the first kind of you know, band that I really became quite, you know, really, really into at quite a young age and got me into music. So I always think of them as being quite important in my life, definitely. And then when I was around 10, I heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers for the first time. And I loved them. And that was what got me into like rock and songwriting and starting my own band as well. So they're a really important band to me. And you mentioned Lana Del Rey, and I love Lana Del Rey. She's one of my favorite artists. I think she's one of the best songwriters of our time. And yeah, she's a big influence on me as well.
I can't, since like on our podcast, it's okay to curse, which you're more welcome to if you feel at any point. But for me, it was like the lyrics like can be so quite shocking as well for Lana Del Rey, where like for me, the song where she's like, my pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola, for me, it's like those lyrics is just like who would ever say that out loud or like write lyrics like that? But she does that and she gets away with it big time, you know? And it's like, Oh, that's just Lana being Lana. And that's great. So in terms of like you said, you started kind of being in that type of rock scene and music from like the age of 12. That's such a young age to be like in that type of music scene in general as well. So how did you end up there? Let's get a little bit of like the earlier days of Maya.
So I had a friend at school that I met kind of quite early on in secondary school or high school, and she also really loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers as well, and she was learning to play guitar, and we just decided one day, oh, let's start a band. And like four of us from school, like we had, you know, a bass player who'd never played bass before, but she was learning. Drummer, never played drums, was learning. Then there was me, and I was like doing the singing and some of the songwriting as well. And every Friday night after school, we'd go to hers, and she had an attic, and we used to play every week. And we did a lot of covers, but we also did a lot of writing of original material, and so I always think of that time as being very important to where I am now. Actually, it was kind of like a foundation of that songwriting and you know, music creation. I did my first like few gigs and stuff, usually in school halls, because when you're like 12, there's not many places you can play. it was a really important experience, that band, for me at a young age. So
this is so cool, like you're kind of already living like the kind of garage band type of dream from already like 12, but you guys were like in the attic instead of the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
For fun, it sounds like my ultimate like childhood dream. I was quite like involved myself as a young child in many different things, like different kind of creative outlets, but when you said that, I was like, I wish I had what you had. This sounds so cool.
it was very school of rock, definitely.
And what was your ultimate kind of go-to when you guys were banging out covers and stuff like that? What was like your all the girls know that like when you're doing covers, you have your go-to covers that you're just like, you have to belt that out. What were yours?
Well, I think because me and the guitarist like loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers so much, and she was always learning their songs, that are like a lot of the first covers we did were Red Hot Chili Peppers, which was cool because like their music is quite challenging to play. So to kind of like, you know, learn those songs and sort of master those songs as much as possible was really good training as, you know, as an artist, definitely.
You guys were quite like brave young girls to go for such songs, for sure. Like I would probably go for like really like singable kind of female artists, and our guys going for like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm blown away. You guys were just like setting the bar high for yourselves from the very get-go, which is really great.
Yeah.
And it also very much shows in your music like level that you have, where you are at now. Your songs are very definitely polished, really like the bar that's like up there, where it's like ready to, you know, hit all the big festivals, hit all the big music industry kind of festivals as well, like I'm thinking like South by Southwest and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, you know, it's like really ready to go, like really on the way, and to just like the next stage just to blow up, isn't it? Like, so terms of
thank you so much for saying that, that's really nice.
My pleasure. Like when you hear, you know, your music journey from the age of 12, and like I said, the bar that you were setting for yourself, it's no doubt that where you are at now, it's going to be a really high bar too. So I'm not surprised that there as well. So
thank you.
Let's pull back a little bit from the part of the bio that you were talking about, recording music during isolation all by yourself. So how much actual knowledge did you have of each of that stage of the creation process? Give us a little bit insight there and tell us how much you had to learn to make that happen and make it happen at the quality that it was at.
Sure. So, I mean, when I went to uni, I studied a lot about kind of sound recording and stuff. So I had quite a good foundational knowledge there, but it has been a long time. You know, it's been quite a long time between me going to uni and me starting my own music. But basically when lockdown happened, just before lockdown happened, me and one of my friends, we were going to start a band together. That was the idea. And then obviously, you know, 2020 happened and lockdown happened and everything. And I kind of thought, right, you know, starting a band isn't really going to be possible for the foreseeable future. And I really, really want to do music. And being a solo artist was something that I'd always had in my mind that I wanted to do. But I just always kind of thought, how am I going to, you know, be a solo artist and make rock music myself? And then when lockdown happened, I just thought, like, now is the time to learn how to do it. You're never going to get this much time in your life again where you just have this kind of unlimited time to stay at home and just learn stuff. So I did like a Logic Pro course to get my kind of music production up to scratch. I developed my confidence as a guitarist a lot. I never used to even call myself a guitarist because I thought I wasn't good enough to even have that title. And then I was like, no, I am good enough and I can do it. And I did this course that Tom Morello did, you know, the guitarist,
but
Rage Against the Machine. Cool, yeah. And he has, you know, there's a website called Masterclass, mm-hmm. where they have these like celebrity kind of people in the industry. And he had one about guitar, and I did it, and I was so inspired by it because he has this approach that like anyone can play. If you can play, like he always says, like if you can play one chord, you can write a song. You know, he kind of opens up. He's not a gatekeeper in that sense, and he was really encouraging, and I found it super inspiring. And then I just started messing around on Logic and playing guitar and whatever, and then this song, The Line, kind of happened as I was learning how to do it, and it felt very authentic and it felt very me, and it was a very, like, it's a statement track about kind of starting again and, you know, starting again stronger than ever as well, and healthy boundaries and things like that. So it felt like the right song to start with, and the wonderful thing about that release experience, like I'll never be able to replicate it in the sense that I put it out with the purest of intentions, just for myself, just to prove to myself that I could see a project through from start to end. I had no I didn't think anybody would even hear it. I honestly didn't. So, you know, that song ended up doing really, really well. Like I remember thinking that before I released it, I remember thinking, oh, I'd love to get like 500 streams on Spotify, like in my lifetime for that song. And, you know, by the end of that day, I was on like over 1,000, which was like mind blowing. It was honestly mind blowing. So yeah, it was just I think that whole experience was just really, really, really wonderful and empowering for me as a person.
Wow. So many things I heard in kind of what you were talking about. And there's a couple of things I want to slowly kind of unpack. I love the emphasis of kind of you talking about gatekeeping and the guitar teacher kind of not gatekeeping. And obviously you're aware of gatekeeping in the music industry. So we'll come back to that in a second. The other aspect that you obviously were saying, you know, you wish or you wanted to kind of go into a band, but that wasn't a possibility, especially not during COVID. And you went on to doing solo stuff. So how is that like in your body, like the transition between wanting to go to do like a band concept and thing in general, and then moving to like a solo aspect? Is there a part of you that sort of like, it seems much scarier to do something by yourself? Because it can be, of course it can be. So have you performed your songs by yourself as of yet? And just the kind of transition between kind of deciding to go solo and pushing yourself completely, and you're like by yourself on the stage and you're not, you know, by the support of other band members. So like what's that feeling like? Can you share a little bit of that
So I haven't actually had a chance to play my solo music live yet, but I will definitely be doing that this year. But the kind of the way I want to do it is that I would have like hired band members or whatever playing the different parts of my song, because it is rock music and I want it to be live, and because that's part of the power, you know, I think particularly in that genre. But it's nice, like, because I've been in quite a few like bands in my life, and I was in one that ended in 2019. I was in that band for a couple of years and I really enjoyed it, but I think I'd kind of got to the point where there were certain things that sort of frustrated me about being in a band a little bit, and it felt like the right time to go ahead down this solo route. So I think, yeah, knowing I'd done the band thing and I was like, you know what, it's not for me anymore, I'm gonna do this. So it felt right.
So you're saying you're gonna have like a sort of band playing out different parts of your solo part. So in a way you are still kind of getting the support of a band and you're bringing your own energy to the stage, but in a way you're getting, like you said, that I'm guessing the kind of thing that was outdated is probably the kind of creative freedom aspect as well, of kind of finding, because that's usually the case that happens between bands, is finding that kind of creative medium with everybody and compromise and all that kind of thing. So I'm actually kind of getting the sense that it seems to be a much better fit for you, because now you can kind of sort of manage the sound that you want to create, and you just give people the music and they just do their part. Yeah. And you know, you're kind of taking the lead. So that sounds great. I actually love that. I think that's a great fit for you. I can't wait to hear about a potential live show with yourself, which is, you know, something to look forward to as well for yourself, to do something like this by yourself, in that you're gonna have your band, but something that you created completely from you.
Yeah, you. Absolutely. It's like I haven't, you know, I haven't even heard these songs in a live capacity yet, because obviously I make it all in this room.
Yeah.
All the different parts, and like the drummer that drums on my tracks is in France. So like I've never heard my music as live pieces before, which is quite unusual really. So I can't wait, like hearing it live is going to be really, really like special for me as well.
So. I can imagine so. And your songs have quite a high level of like vulnerability there. So I can imagine it's going to be a very different experience for you connecting with the audience, as I know how it can feel when you're sharing very vulnerable stuff. Let's go back to the gatekeeping aspect that we were talking about. And you were saying gatekeeping and music industry. Where do you think your experience has been that you felt things were gatekeeped because you were female, or what was your experience that you felt gets gatekept the most in, say, for example, where you are based, like United Kingdom?
I think I don't know whether this is anybody in particular gatekeeping, but I think there is this kind of, I don't think there are enough like women producers, because I feel like it is gatekept a little bit in a way, and there's this kind of thing of, oh, you need to have all this knowledge to be able to do it, and that it's more of a, you know, a man thing to do. And I honestly think like the best music right now is being created and produced by women. And yeah, I think it's really important to have women producers. And yeah, like I'm kind of the opinion that if, you know, if you have a computer and if you have connection to the internet, you can learn how to do anything. Yeah. And I really, you know, I really hope that kind of the next generation, even this generation, like see it, because, you know, production and things like that shouldn't be gatekept. Playing guitar shouldn't be gatekept. Things that are traditionally male, you know, that's all rubbish to me. Yeah. Nothing is traditionally male, you know?
And I'm just trying to kind of switch the roles of, what do you think would it be like if, say, it got to a point where women were officially the dominant force in the producing world? Do you think that we have the capacity to be the gatekeepers as well? Do you think we'd start to kind of protect what we sort of were battling over for like a while, to try to kind of claim our place in the music industry? Do you think that would become a thing that would be like, well, you guys gatekept for us for ages, you know, that in the being in that space of being like the aspect of gatekeeping for so long, and you're like finally getting through that kind of aspect, do you think women would have the capacity to kind of become like, we're going to be protective of this space that we're trying to claim? Or do you think women have the capacity to kind of hold a nice balance of both? Like, what's your opinion on that?
I think we're able to hold a nice balance of both. And yeah, I can't imagine sort of a scenario where like women producers would be gatekeeping it, because I think we've all been on that other side of feeling like things have been gatekept. So we have that empathy in a way to not do that for other things, if that makes sense.
For sure, for sure. I totally agree. And at the end of the day, especially like you said, the producing aspect, or whether it's just like musician aspect or whatever it is that you're offering into the music industry world, and you really are good at what you do, it's like all we want to do is want to do what we love, and we don't want that. If one thing COVID taught us is that time was just sort of taken from us in a way that we can't get back, and we don't want another aspect of something like that keeping us from kind of just doing what we love, you know. Life's too short. So I totally agree with you on that. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is Nightfall. Now, when I was listening to Nightfall, there's like quite deep lyrics there. Can you like unpack a little bit of the entire like idea behind Nightfall? Because that's obviously your newest song that's kind of out right now. So I'm really interested to hear, because I got that kind of sense there's a lot there. Are you talking a little bit about mental health? I kind of got the sense there's like an aspect of mental health, insomnia, and kind of staying up late at night, can't fall asleep. Is that kind of what you were going for? Did I pick that up correctly?
Yes, you did. It's kind of based on, so in 2019, I sort of went through a bit of a rough patch in my life where I wasn't feeling so great about certain things. And I remember, like, I'd be fine, like 9 to 5, I was fine because I'd be at work and occupied and whatever. And I always had this kind of sort of weird fear of the evenings, because all of a sudden then I was on my own with too much time on my hands to think about things. And it's kind of that idea of, just not like nighttime feeling so long because you're just there in your own thoughts, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And the reason why I wanted to kind of talk to you about that is because I think it's so relatable to so many people out there in the world, including myself. And when I heard those lyrics, it just made me feel like a lot less alone, you know. It kind of made me think, like you said, laying late at night and just being so kind of engulfed by your own thoughts that you actually just cannot fall asleep, and you're just unable to kind of just sort of like relax the body to a point where you can go into a deeper sleep, and how torturous it can be, especially like you said, when you're just alone by your thoughts. So I totally connected with that, and I think many other people that haven't heard the song would connect with it too, and have heard the song connected with it, because it's just like now, like hearing, like saying being alone while knowing somebody kind of out there is feeling the same way, it's just so powerful, isn't it? Like, and
yeah,
thank you for writing a song like that.
Oh no, thank you for saying that. That means a lot to hear that, definitely.
Well, I mean every word. So Maya, before we delve and learn a little bit more about you and after the segment of I'm a Diva 5 questions, but right now we're going to jump into I'm a Diva 5 questions. So are you ready?
I am ready, yes.
Cool. So, number one, what should a diva motto be?
I think a diva motto should be that there's nothing wrong with being a diva. And I think, you know, when we unpack the word like diva, what is a diva? It's a woman that asks for what she wants. What's wrong with that? I think there's so many like negative connotations around the world, around that word. And it's like, you know, we need to reclaim that as a positive thing, you know?
For sure. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Number two. What do you think the ultimate diva meal is? For me, Maya the diva.
for Maya the diva, I just kind of thought, like, what is my, if I had a choice to have anything that I wanted, it's pretty basic, but just like pizza and a beer, that's like my ultimate diva meal, because that's the sort of thing I'd have if I'm not worrying about being healthy, or I'm not worrying about, you know, diet or whatever. Like, I can just relax and have my pizza and a beer and feel like the ultimate diva.
Awesome. What's your favorite beer?
I quite like a Corona, funnily enough.
Oh yes. with a little lime inside.
Yes, with absolutely. Lime.
Yes, good choice.
what's yours?
Well, I actually, many people know this about me, I do not drink at all anymore. It's been around 6 years. At the end of May, it's going to be around 6 years. But I did used to love a good Corona in the summer. I used to love a good tequila on a very crazy night out, you know. Shots of tequila, keep it rolling. And, you know, yeah. I'd like to mix it up. But I mostly like lean towards like kind of fruity drinks as well. So, you know, I was a very girly type. Yeah, like a red wine and some dark chocolate sometimes when I'm home alone was just awesome. Like it
that sounds
was
like
my little TLC night for me. But yeah, so that's it. Number three, what do you think the ultimate diva mindset is?
So I think kind of just having, you know, self-belief and just knowing that you can do whatever you want, no matter what anyone else thinks. And that, you know, if you have the confidence and the determination, you can achieve anything you want. I think that's a pretty powerful diva mindset.
That's solid.
Yes.
That's a solid answer right there. Love that. And number four, can you describe your ultimate diva statement you have made to date?
Yeah, this was quite an interesting one when I was thinking about it, because so I remember that when I was 4 years old, I broke my leg pretty badly. And I had this kind of real, like, you know, when something like that happens to you, everyone is around you trying to do everything for you. And I always used to say, like, it became like my thing. I always used to say, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. Always. That's what I used to say. And it's funny, like, I thought about it yesterday and I was like, my God, like, I'm still saying that. like I'm saying that when it comes to, like, you know, that sums up what I do with my music is I can do it myself, because I do everything myself, you know, from the production to the photography to the website building to the PR, whatever. And I just thought it was quite funny because I was like, oh, I've been saying this my whole life.
That's amazing. So, obviously, yeah. look at where you've gotten. Look at where it's gotten you.
Exactly.
For me, I feel like when you mentioned, like, when you were 4 years old, I feel like not the ultimate diva statement to date, but more like my first ever diva moment. I felt like diva statement, diva moment. It makes me think of, like, when I was like 11 years old, actually not 11, around 10 years old. I remember there was a boy I was like majorly crushing on. And you know how young boys are, they're like, they like you one moment, they don't like you the next. I remember just like watching it from all the like movies and picking up like the girls kind of having their little moment of like a makeover and coming back like upgraded and all this. And I remember just coming home and like getting dressed up and coming back outside and like, look at me, look at how good I look. And
yeah.
I was like, that was literally my first diva moment I didn't even know about.
I love it. Take that spirit with you always.
Yeah, that's it. So we have number five, which is the last question of it. I'm a diva, five questions. What's your diva reminder that reminds you that you're a diva?
I think it's kind of just reminding myself, like, everything I've achieved in the last couple of years since I started, you know, my own solo music career. And just knowing that I did it myself is super empowering for me. And whenever I'm feeling a bit, you know, sometimes when you're working on music and things aren't quite working the way you want to, or you're feeling a bit down in yourself, I always think, like, I've achieved a lot and I should be really, really proud of myself. And if I achieved it then, I can do it again, I can do it better, I can keep pushing forwards. So, and it's nice to have, like, kind of, you know, nice industry kind of feedback and acclaim and stuff that I've received as well. So that's kind of my diva reminder.
That's beautiful, you know, because I know how important it is when you put in so much heart, soul, and sweat on top of everything into what you're doing. And sometimes even not getting, like you said, that positive response that you're expecting and still not where it should be. And it can be so hard to continue to persevere. And it can definitely, even like some people at worst, like it can actually deter them from even continuing what it is that they're trying to do. And they just kind of leave it be because they're like, I don't know if I can do it. So yeah, definitely a blessing. But you know, it's not just a blessing about people noticing your talent. You know, you really are talented, and you, like you said, you've been doing this since you were so young. So it goes to show, you know, working really hard and on top of that, kind of eating, breathing music is what it's all about, and your music definitely shows that. Like, I really want to kind of touch upon into the fact that you're British slash Asian.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that. How old were you? Like, were you born in UK? Or are your parents Asian? Like, let's go like there. Do you go home often? Like, do you visit Asia?
Sure. So both. So I'm fully Indian. That's kind of my heritage. But I was born and brought up here in the UK. And my parents kind of came here in the 70s. So I'm kind of that first, second generation of Indians here. And yeah, I mean, I haven't been for quite a while, and I've only been sort of 3-4 times in my life, but I would like to go a bit more often because it does feel special when I go, definitely.
And is there any, have you tried like listening to Indian music and stuff like that? Is there any particular one that you like connect with, or do you think had any at all influences? I know you didn't really go back, or you know, there's, you know, even though we don't go back, like say where I'm from, I'm not originally from Ireland, but like even though I don't go back that often, I have been coming back more often now post-COVID, but it's like kind of taking an interest in your culture as well without having to visit. So is there something that, you know, really kind of drew you in about your particular like Indian culture,
in the sense of like who inspires me in that arena of kind of Indian artists and stuff? Or
sure if you want to as well touch upon that, and then kind of like other things as well if you want to talk about it too.
Sure. So I think there's a lot of really incredible music that's made in India, particularly as you know, Bollywood makes like the most movies a year out of every industry, I think. And every movie has, well, most of the movies have a plethora of original songs, and those songs are always amazing. And there's a really incredible composer called A.R. Rehman, who does, he does so many Bollywood movies, and I think he did the Slumdog Millionaire, all the composing for that. And I think he won an Oscar for that. And there's amazing like British Asian artists as well. I think are really cool, like Nitin Sawhney, he's amazing. Charlie XCX, I believe, is half Indian as well. So there's like a lot of really awesome talent. And yeah, I think like my heritage does definitely inspire me. And you know, I think it's important as an Indian woman to be doing this as well, because there isn't that much representation, I don't think, especially within the rock genre. I think it's really, really important for the next generation to see, you know, people, you know, from minority backgrounds on stages, because if you can see it, you can be it, you know?
100%. And like you said, the particular style that you're doing is definitely not like the sort of like you said, the Bollywood is kind of like taking the majority of like the music scene. So you pushing that envelope is really cool. And like you said, it's much needed as a woman, half and as a woman, and just in general, like kind of pushing the envelope about accepting different things, because that's how the industry starts to accept different things, is by pushing those envelopes, including of where you're from and including of like the fact, like you said, more female producers and more other things. So it's just kind of continuing to say, you know, look at us, we're doing it, we're flying, we're doing really well.
Absolutely.
And you're having the best time ever.
Exactly.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about a song that you're currently working on. So you're currently planning to release a new song. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. So I've been working. So I started writing it like last week or the week before, and it's still in like very early production phases, but I know when I'm writing a song if it's like a special one, because I just get this certain feeling of like, oh yeah, this is good, and I'm really feeling it with this one. So it's, yeah, I love this part of the process so much, like, you know, building something from scratch and playing with it and, you know, pushing it as much as I can. It's like my favorite part of doing music is doing the music. So I'm working on it, and hopefully, you know, in the next couple of months it will be out into the world. But I am like the ultimate perfectionist when it comes to music, so I like to get it to as high a standard as I possibly can, because it's, you know, it's literally my name on it, and you know, that's important to me. So I'll never release anything if I don't think it's the best it can be.
Lovely. I think that's a great work ethic. And can you give us a little bit of sneak of like what the kind of lyrical content, like what is the song going to be a little bit about? Is there a name for the song yet?
It's like my first love song.
Oh.
But it's done in a very Maya way of it being quite sort of fierce sounding and yeah. So that's all I'll say for now.
That's fair enough. And obviously, you know, I've noticed there's not too many like music videos and things like that. Is there a plan for any music video projects to come?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think I kind of didn't because of, you know, COVID and stuff before, but now I think it would be really great actually to have some visuals and stuff for music, because that's important to get yourself out there.
Yeah, for sure. And have you any ideas of like, I'm really curious to see the songs that you create to the visuals that would go with it, any sort of concepts or any sort of colors or any sort of like, what can we expect the Maya music to match with the Maya visuals? Like any sort of little nuggets that you can throw at us?
Well, I mean, I think my music has this sort of dark texture to it. So I feel like it would be important for that to reflect in the music videos and for it to, you know, to have that kind of dark coolness, bit of edginess, you know. Exactly. So that's kind of what I'm thinking for that.
Cool. And I'm obviously like curious because you said you haven't really performed live like as a solo artist yet. I'm not really sure what way you used to dress on stage with your previous band, but like what can we expect in terms of clothing on stage or the look that you would be going for, or like even the looks that you'd be going for your music videos? Can you give us a little bit of insight into that as well?
Over the last couple of years, I've had a few different music reviews that have described my music as sophisticated, stylish rock. I quite liked that because I thought, oh, maybe that could kind of reflect the look and the feel of the live performance and the visuals and stuff as well. So I feel like maybe some kind of cool, sophisticated suit type thing, you know, maybe
yes.
Something like that, but also with a bit of a glitter vibe, I think, as well.
Yeah, so I'm actually, what I'm visualizing when you described that, when you said that like a suit kind of thing, I'm thinking like a leather suit and like yes. glitter, because I'm thinking like the leather would just bring that edge, but it's got that like sophistication, but it's got the like rock element, but like in a cool, sophisticated, elegant a little bit way, but like still yeah. very edgy. Yeah, and then like you said
exactly.
the glitter. Yes,
yes.
Love it, love it. So we're gonna jump into the last kind of question, just to sum up the episode. Do you feel like there's anything you'd like to kind of mention for, like you said, you're obviously very positive mindset, positive work ethic, like you said, you know, you're pushing the bar, not gonna release any songs if you're not fully happy with it, you know, so you're kind of set in your values as like a musician. Is there anything you want to like kind of mention to anybody listening out there that you think would be helpful, like little sprinkles of, you know, motivation or maybe like advice for anybody starting out or maybe in the music industry for a while? Anything you want to put out there from your personal experience?
I think always like make the music that you love, and if you're listening to it and you think, I really like that and I would listen to that, like then in my opinion the job is done, because as long as you love it, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. And I can guarantee that if you love it, there's probably quite a lot of other people out there who will also love it if that is your aim as well. And I guess just have, you know, just have that self-confidence and belief that you do have something and that you can do it. Because for a long time, you know, before starting this journey, it just felt like a massive mountain, like, oh God, how am I going to learn how to produce? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But once you start doing it, and it kind of, and you break it down into smaller steps, like, oh, today I'll watch a YouTube video about how to do this in Logic or how to record guitar or whatever. And once you start doing these little things, that mountain kind of gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So I would kind of recommend to just, you know, keep at it, do a little bit every day, and just believe that you can do it. I think, you know, a lot of it is just self-confidence and belief. And as long as you're happy with what, you know, with what you're creating, that is the goal to me. If I like it, great. And I think that's the way it should be, because if you're happy, you know, it's all about making yourself happy, isn't it? And that's what music should be, I think. And, you know, don't get too phased about other things, but as long as you're happy with it, that's important.
For sure. I love that. That's a very helpful piece of kind of advice slash information to put forward for everyone listening. Before I get to the last part, what would be like your ultimate favorite festival, like music festival that you'd love to like perform at? We all have those kind of like, I wouldn't imagine you not having a festival or something that you'd love to perform at, because I feel like you're so motivational. I feel like that's something that you'd like work towards. So drop some names.
So for me, like the biggest dream is to play Glastonbury, definitely. And like the ultimate bucket list thing, and I will do it one day, is I would love to play like the pyramid stage at Glastonbury, because that's like the pinnacle of I think of any artist's career. And because I've been there a couple of times myself, and I just remember thinking, oh my god, like one day I want to be on that stage.
That's amazing. I have no doubt that you can actually do this. You can really do this. Like my, you know, like you said, you really push the envelope and you push yourself, and you know, you don't take shortcuts. You know, you seem to be like paving the way for yourself, and I can't imagine you not paving the way for yourself for greatness that's to come. You're welcome. You deserve it. A little pep talk for you from me.
It's much appreciated.
So just to sum up the last part, I like to leave this note on like this last question. What kind of ways do you think women in the music industry can be more supportive of each other? What do you think would be, like from your perspective, what would be the best thing that we can kind of be more supportive of each other in the music industry? What ways we can do that?
I think, you know, to be honest, I think like every woman that I've interacted with, mostly on social media, I think has been really, really supportive. And I think one thing I will say is that like there's not one winner in this. You know, there's not like one place in the music industry and we're all fighting for it. You know, it's, we can all make it in whatever way we want to. So why not support each other in that? Because, you know, somebody else might be able to help you further down the line if you help them. And, you know, it's important not to think of it as a competition, especially with other women. Like, you know, it's great to see other women achieving awesome things, and it's important. So
yeah, I love that. And I feel like if you can be in some way supportive, and you feel like, I feel like I help maybe in a little way here or there, and she's reached some sort of, you know, breaking point in her career, you feel like, you know, you contributed towards someone's happiness. And I think that's so like wholesome. I think that's so beautiful. And I think for like the whole idea of this podcast is to feel a sense of sort of support from each other, that we're learning from each other, we're sharing our perspectives, we're sharing our opinions, things that we can do, maybe some solutions. And I feel like it's almost like this like thing that we don't see, but it's there. It's this like sense of love and support that we have for each other. And that's beautiful. Yeah, Thank you so much for coming on to the show. For everyone listening, all of the details as always is included in the description. Socials, everything you need to know about Maya, keep up, follow her. And we want to say a big thank you to our listeners. And thank you so much to Maya for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you. Like, it's been lovely just to chat to you about music. It's, you know, it's not felt like a scary interview or anything like that. It's just felt like a really lovely conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. It was really a mutual thing. So thank you so much. And thank you so much to our listeners. And until next time, this is Edgy B of I'm a Diva Podcast.
I'm a Diva Podcast launched their Patreon account. So if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link, and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now, and thank you so much for your support.